Tonight's shiur in Parshas Yitro, brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh Levi Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. Sefer begins Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Choten Moshe. So the question is asked, why mention over here Kohen? What does it mean Kohen? What does it mean like we call it Kohen Levi Yisrael? Right, Kohen meaning was a priest. We know that there's an Isser of Onas Dvarim. You're not supposed to mention somebody's past to him if he had a negative past. Not nice. It hurts his feelings. So why are we mentioning here Yisrael Kohen Moshe, the priest, Kohen Midian, the priest of Midian? I didn't mention that to you, so it's not nice. And here he's guy or whatever. You don't have to mention his back, you know, his negative background. So Yonas and Ibishitz answers, says that in time of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, right, the halacha was that not to accept gerim. They didn't accept converts in those days. Why? Because it was hard to find, it's hard to know if the person was converting for, you know, pure motives. Meaning we were at such a high level, you know, at that time, we were at our peak, and the Jewish people, and therefore it could be a goy wanted to join us because he wanted to, you know, have the benefits of being a Jew at that time in history. So as a result, we didn't accept the gerim at that time. We didn't know if they were really sincere. So they asked the question, so how come Shlomo Melech himself was Megayer Bas Paro? She was a goya, and we were not supposed to mekabel gerim at that time. The answer is because she was Bas Paro. She was the daughter of a king. So Mele, she came from a chashav status. And Becholzot, she wanted to join the Jewish people, so that's okay. Stama, an average person maybe wants to better his lot. But she, anyways, had it was in a chashav matzah. So then, therefore, it was okay to mekabel her. Mele says they can answer the same thing over here, right? Here, Kal Yisro, we're at a high. You know, all the Nisim Mitzrayim, left Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Suf, everything, right? Such a red a high. So Mestama, they weren't so interested in Mekabel Gerim for the same reason. Yeah, you want to join Jewish people when you see that God's with us all right now, whatever. So therefore, how could Mekabel Yisro? The answer is Kohen Midyan. Because he was just like Bas Paro was Chashav, so he was also a Kohen, he was a priest, he was a Chashav a person. So Chashav a people, you can Mekabel, because they're not doing it to better their lot. It says, on a similar note actually, the Pnine Kedem says, that right, based on the Rashi, Vishma Yisra, Rashi says, Mashmu Hashama Uba, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Milchamas Amalek. What did he hear to come? Yisra, he heard the Kriyas Yamsuf, and Milchamas Amalek. So he says that Timna, she was a Goya, she came to Avram and wanted to convert. She wanted to join the Jewish people. Avram said, nothing doing. He saw, you know, bad in her. So he said, no, I'm not mekabel you. She went to Yitzchak, also not. Went to Yaakov, also not. So she said, well, I'm not having any luck coming through the front door, so I'll go through the back door. I'd rather be a shivcha to the, you know, to the people. And so she went and she married Eliphaz, the son of Esav. But what came from her? Amalek came from her. So Mele, same thing over here. Yisro wanted to convert, but he said, they're not going to mekabel me. Basically, what he said in the last vort, you know, they're not going to mekabel. They're not so interested in mekabel gear. So not going to mekabel. So he didn't, you know, what's going to be. However, he said, wait a second, now's my chance. Why? Because what did he hear? Kriyas Yam Suf v'il Melchemes Amalek. He says, Melchemes Amalek. When the Jews, after just witnessing Melchemes Amalek, the Jews are going to say, wait a second, who is this Amalek anyways? This came from because our forefathers pushed off Timnah, she ended up, they didn't let her become a Gioris, pushed her off, so she ended up marrying Eliphaz ben Esav and ended up coming from her Amalek. So now you said, now is my chance. Because now, Chayzah, see what happens when you push off a Gioris? Look what happens. Amalek comes from it. And therefore, he said, now is my chance. Oh, so now I'm a Kabbal me. Because you see, it's not good to push off. You never know. You push off a person, what can come out from it? It says in the Pasuk Ches, so Yisro came, And Moshe comes out and greets him. Yisaper Moshe lechosno es kol asher asa Hashem lefaro lemitzrayim. Allah does Israel. I told him everything that happened to Farm Mitzrayim concerning for the sake of Israel. It's called Tla Hashem Etzasam Baderach, Yetzilim Hashem, etc. So the Indian here says, okay, very nice, you know, told him a story, what happened. But it's not just that. They say that there's more, it's Moshe was Mekayim a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to tell over the Nisim of Hashem. It's not just a nice thing, nice stories, right? There's a mitzvah. Kosh Baruch Hu, there's Nisim, it's an Indian to tell it over. It's a Shiru Lo, Zamru Lo, Sichu B'chol Niflosav. You should socheach, you should speak B'chol Niflosav, all the Niflosav Hashem. Meaning that until now, there's nobody really to tell. What are you going to tell? Tell if we read next to you, oh, you know what happened? Everybody knew, everybody was there. So we couldn't Mekayim this mitzvah of telling over, you know. Till finally Yisro came. Oh, Yisro, oh good, he wasn't there. Guess what, Yisro, let me tell you. And he told them, oh, I'm Mekayim the mitzvah, I'm with the Mesaper, everything that happened. And he flows Hashem. So they say this vort, very similar, that they asked a famous question, that was in Haggadah Shel Pesach, we don't find Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Except once, indirectly. But you think, you know, if I were to ask a person who never saw Haggadah before, what name you think you know appears most often in Haggadah? You'd probably say Moshe, you know, of course. So, Jesus Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? You think he's mentioned more than anybody in Haggadah. Meanwhile, he's not mentioned at all. So, different answers. One answer they give is who is the first person in history to Mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Tzivos Mitzrayim telling over to his kids is what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because his kids weren't there, right? Yisro came with his kids. They weren't in Mitzrayim. They didn't see everything. So the first person that was Mekayim, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to his kids was Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a big anav, right? So naturally, he's not going to go say to his kids, and then I did this, and then I brought this, and I did this. He's not going to say all that. Why? Because, you know, he's a big anav. So he, Prismasama, left himself out when he was describing the everything that happened. So Mele, when we also say the Haggadah, like Moshe Rabbeinu did, he set the stage for the Haggadah, we also don't mention his name either. So, it's in over here, I was thinking also that it's the, when the parsha starts out, Yishma Yisro Kohen Midyan. What did he hear? It's Kol Asher Asah Elokim LaMoshe UlYisrael. Here the Torah discusses what Yisro heard. Everything that happened to Hashem, that Hashem did to Moshe, Yisrael, whatever. But if you read the pasuk we just saw, when Moshe is telling it over, what does it say? It's Apir Moshe Lechosno. It's Kol Asher Asah Hashem LaParo UlMitzrayim. It doesn't say everything that happened, like what Yisro really heard, right? What happened to Moshe, what happened to, what Hashem did to Moshe, Israel. It doesn't say anything about Moshe. He didn't mention himself. He just said, oh, let me tell you what Hashem did to Paro Uli Mitzrayim. He doesn't say anything about Moshe and Israel. But you want to, again, that's, he left it out. He didn't want to brag. He left him out. So, but he was Mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, similarly, we're speaking about telling over Niflos, it was a Maisa with the Brisker Rav. He married off his son, and during Sheva Brachas, they were supposed to have a minion, and his son wasn't there. It was very strange, you know, where is this? Where is his son? Supposed to, they came to the shul for the minion, and waited, still no son. He was very strange. He wouldn't miss the minion. So he sent somebody to his house to see. So knocked on the door, no answer. Knock, 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 no answer. So something is very strange. So they broke the door down. They saw him and his wife lying there, collapsed. And there, the smoke was coming from the fireplace, whatever. The kids would say they were unconscious from it was like the whole place was full of smoke. So they quickly opened up the windows, this and that, whatever, aired everything out, and you know, tried to, you know, help them come to, which they eventually did after a while. But it was after a few hours. They were unconscious for quite a while. And the doctors that checked them out in the end said that if it would have been just minutes later, that would have been the end of them. But Mamish, this came in the nick of time. And so the Brisker Rav would tell over the story that, you know, during the Sheva Brach, because every person he saw, you know what happened, you know what happened, you know what happened, over and over and over again. Because that's the Sichu Niflosav. You're supposed to tell over the miracles of Hashem. Okay, it says, Yisro said, Moshe Rabbeinu is working too hard, they should nominate judges. V'tasechezem mikol ha'am, anshei chayel, yir elokim. So the Indian of judges, it's a cute vort, it says by the Gemara in Brachas, that it's asur for a Talmud Chacham to take big steps. Because if one takes big steps, it takes away 1/500th of his eyesight. So the famous kasha there is, and what? And other people don't care about their eyesight. No, Talmud Chacham is not someone to take big steps because it hurts his eyesight. So why? What about everybody? Nobody should. Why would I don't go to Talmud Chacham as an asur? So they say, because Pasuk says, Ki yashochad yaver einei chachamim, that taking bribes makes a person's eyesight dim. And Meile, Talmud Chacham, who was liable to say, you know, Paskin, you know, Dine Torah, whatever. So if he's going to end up being blind, he took big steps or whatever, and ends up losing his eyesight, it's going to be a Chil Hashem. Because people are going to say, hey, why is this, you know, Dayan's eyesight weak? Ah, must be he was taking bribes, taking Shochad. It says that, the Pasuk says, Shochad Yaver Einei Chachamim. So in order there shouldn't be a Chil Hashem, the Chazals tell them, don't take big steps. People are not going to know. They're going to think your eyes went bad because of you're taking Shochad. Therefore, you should make sure you don't take big steps. There's a maisa that the Chida brings down from Rav Chaim Kafusi, was a Dayan, and at the end of his, towards the end of his life, he became blind. So people started talking behind his back, said, oh, he's blind, you see, yeah, he probably took bribes. He heard people, you know, talking. So he, on Shabbos, he went up to the R in front of everybody, in front of the whole call. He went up to the R and he says, Ribono Shalom, says, if I, you know, took any bribes, fine, let me remain blind. But if not, let me see again. Around the spot, boom, he got his eyesight back. Okay, famous vort says here in the pasuk v'shaftu esa'am. This is Yisro's advice. It says you should nominate all these judges, and they'll judge the people with choleis. Vayadavar hagadol yaviu alecha. Only big thing they'll bring to you, and v'chol adavar katon yishpetuhim. With the smaller things, these judges will take care of. But the big ones, the big cases, they'll bring to you. But, however, it says in the pasuk after that that Vivchar Moshe, he chose these people, etc. And then the pasuk relates Vishaftu atayam b'cholei, that they judge the people. It's a davar hakasheh yiviu nel Moshe, they brought to Moshe. V'akaton, they judged. So they ask, why the difference in the lashon? By Yisro, he said davar hagadol they should bring to you. But at the end, it says that the var hakasheh, the difficult thing they brought to Moshe. Why gadol and then change it to kasheh? So they say, because by yid, there's no such thing as a big case and a small case. It's din pruta, din meya. Right? A judge is not supposed to say, they're only arguing about a pruta, who cares? Okay, you take it. No, every pruta is important. You have to judge the case as serious if it's a one pruta or if it's $1,000,000. Din pruta, din meya. And therefore, there's no, a guy looks at it like that, who cares, a little money. Therefore, Yisro said, a big case, you know, the $1,000,000 cases, you do Moshe. The smaller cases, you know, you give it to these judges. Okay? Whereas Moshe is nothing doing. He'll just think it's a big, every case is big, right? Where could there be a difference though? Only in difficult or not. That's a different story. The ones that are, the cases are difficult, then okay, they have to bring to me, because I'm a bigger expert. So therefore Moshe, when he related what happened, or the Torah relates what Moshe did, he said that the Devar Kasheh is brought to Moshe, very difficult, but not big, because everything is big. Okay. It says in the Pasuk, Perek Yudtes, Pasuk Ches, as we're approaching Matan Torah, it says, V'yanu kol ha'am yachta, v'yamru kol asher dibei Hashem nase. So the Am answered together, and they said, everything that Hashem says, nase will do. Okay, there's another familiar Pasuk, very, very similar, in Parshas Mishpatim, coming up. And there it says, a little different, it says, V'yamru kol asher dibir Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. So here we have just na'aseh, whereas the Parshas Mishpatim, similar pasuk, because there comes the famous, you know, na'aseh v'nishma. Then they say, V'yamru kol asher dibir Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. So why the difference? Why here is it just na'aseh, when over there it's na'aseh v'nishma? Also, by the way, I heard a cute remez. The pasuk over there in Parsha Mishpatim, where when they said Nasa v'Nishma, it's in Perek Kaf Dalad Pasuk Zayin. Right? So I'm sure you heard of the expression 24/7. You heard an expression, you know, constantly, 24/7. Right? The store is open 24/7. So what that Perek Kaf Dalad 24 Pasuk Zayin 7 is Nasa v'Nishma. That 24/7 person's got to be Nasa v'Nishma. Okay. Anyways. Yeah, so what's the difference and why the difference? Why here Naseh or Naseh v'Nishma? They say, because a person, a Yid, no one Yid can keep the whole Torah. It's impossible, right? There's mitzvahs that only are for a man, mitzvahs only for a woman, mitzvahs only for a Kohen, mitzvahs for a woman. It's impossible for one person to do every mitzvah. You cannot try all starting mitzvahs. However, so how is one able to do it? There are two solutions to this problem. One solution is... through Achdus, right? If we're all together, we're like one body, all the Jewish people, so then everybody's mashlim. It's like we all did all the mitzvahs. That's one way. The other way is through learning. So if you learn the karbanos, like you brought the karbanos, you learn, whatever you learn about is if you did it. So you can do all the mitzvahs by learning about the mitzvahs. Ah. V'meile, that's the answer to the question. The pasuk over here says what? V'yanu kol ha'am yachdav. Here it says we're all together, yachdav, mele, kol asher dibir Hashem naseh, we'll do, right? We'll do all the mitzvahs, how? Because we're yachdav, we're all together, being all together, that's how we can do all the mitzvahs. In the pasuk in 24/7 in Mishpatim, it doesn't say that, it doesn't say yachdav, it says, v'yamru kol asher dibir Hashem. And therefore, well, you're not yachdav, so you can't do all the mitzvahs by being together. You're not together, so therefore, it's naseh v'nishma. You also have the nishma, the learning, the understanding. You have to learn as well. If you want to do the mitzvahs, if you don't have the yachdus, you also have to have the nishma, the learning as well. Okay, it says, Perek Yotes Pasuk Yitzayin, famous... Chazal to this, v'yotzei Moshe Asa'am, v'likras Elokim, min ha'machaneh, v'yitzyatzvu b'tachti sahar. They were underneath the mountain, and the famous Chazal says that Kadosh Baruch Hu took the mountain and turned it over them like a barrel, and says, if you'll mekabel the Torah, good, and if not, sham take for us, and then you'll be buried here. So the also famous question is, why did Hashem have to do this? They, like we just said, they said, Naseh v'Nishma. They said, whatever, no problem, we'll do what you want, so why do you have to force them? You force the person, say, no, we don't want the Torah. Oh yeah? Accept it or else. But they said they're going to do it. They said, Naseh v'Nishma, so why do they have to force them? Also, Tosus asked the question, number of answers. So Reuven Karelenstein says, very simple. He says, you know why? He says, because Hashem wanted to show us that the Torah is not something you can decide to do or not to do. It's not like, well, yeah, okay, you can take it or leave it. You know, you want it, don't let... No. It's either the Torah or death. Not this thing like, you know, when you speak to non-religious people, you know, you find this, you know, they don't realize this. They realize, they think the Torah is like, they'll tell you, oh, you know, you're a religious Jew. That's very nice, you know, very nice, you know, you want to do it. It's not for me, you know, you want to do it, you know, very nice, kol hakavod, you know. It's like as if it's, I tell them, it's not like a club, you know. I like to play basketball. He said, you know, okay, you play basketball. I like play chess, you know, whatever you like to do. You do, I do, you know. It's like you wouldn't force somebody, you know, to play basketball because he doesn't want to play basketball, you know. So why force a guy to be religious? He wants to be religious. They look at it as like, okay, you know, take it or leave it. But we know that's not the case. It's chaim or mavis, right? It's the Torah or nothing. It's not the club, you know, that you like to join, a hobby. Right, so Hashem wanted to show us that, just put us the mountain over. Says no, it's not just something, you know. Yeah, Nashim and Ishma, we like this nice thing. And if you don't like it, no, it's not like it or no. You got to do it. And it brings Rabbi Yehuda Tzadkim, it's a nice idea. See this, it says that Yaakov Avinu, when he before he came down Mitzrayim, it says he sent Yehuda to Goshen to build the yeshiva. So when they come, they have the yeshiva. So they ask, why did he have to send them ahead to make the yeshiva? When they get there, they can make a yeshiva. Why do you have to send them ahead to make the yeshiva? This is a beautiful idea from the beginning of Maseches Megillah. The Gemara talks over there about a walled city, right? A walled city, we know, reads on the 15th poster, not walled city. So what's considered a walled city? So the Gemara says, it's a city that was first walled and then settled. As opposed to, if they settled, they build the wall afterwards, that's not considered a real walled city. What's the difference? Because the city that was settled first, and then the wall, that showed, like, take it or leave it. You know, they settled, they don't need a wall, but you know what, it's a nice thing. Let's put a wall up, why not? A city that wall was put up before they moved in shows, you gotta have the wall. We're not moving in until we have the wall. Because you gotta have the wall. So therefore, until we have the wall, we're not moving in. That shows that's a walled city. So maybe it's the same idea, right? If the Torah was take it or leave it, then yeah, we'll get to Goshen. We'll see. Maybe we'll like to make a yeshiva. But if it's, you gotta have it, then you don't go there until it's like the city is a walled city. It has to first be walled and then you move in. So too here. You gotta have the yeshiva, then we move in. Right? If it was take it or leave it, we can go there. Man, yeshiva and only, but since you have to have it first, you make the yeshiva, then we move in. Vayter says, move on to the Aseres Adibras, Nochi Shem Elokecha, etc. So there's a famous Chanukah Satorah that explains a midrash. So the midrash says, Kol achilos sheYisrael ochlim b'olam hazeh einam ochlim ela bizchut emuna. That all the literally eatings that Yisrael eat in this world is in zchus of emuna. What's that supposed to mean? So he explains it based on the halacha, or question you could say, that we know that you're not allowed to delay payment of your worker. A person works for you, does something for you, so you gotta pay him right away. Otherwise you're over on halanas sachar. So they ask, L'chura, Kosh Baruch Hu says, do the mitzvahs, and we do them, so you should pay us for them. He says, I'll pay you later. Olam haba. Aye, but somebody works for you, you gotta pay him right away. What do you mean to pay you later? Pay you olam haba. I want payment now. So how could it be that Hashem delays our payment? So they answer that the halacha that you have to pay right away doesn't apply if the Baal HaBayit sent a shaliach to hire the workers. Right? If a shaliach comes, then he hires them. So then when the worker said, okay, pay me. So he goes to the shaliach, he says, pay me. He goes, what do you want from me? I'm just a shaliach. Go to the boss. You know, you work for him. He goes, okay, he goes to the boss. And he says, okay, can I have my payment? He says, hey, listen, I didn't hire you. Go to the shaliach. He hired you. I didn't hire you. And they can, you know, bounce them back and forth, and therefore there's no isser of halana schar, not paying right away when it comes to a shaliach. I'm a mele, same thing. Kosh Baruch could say, I don't have to pay you right away. I sent a shaliach, Moshe Rabbeinu. If I don't give you directly, it's one thing, but I gave you the Torah through Moshe, shaliach. So mele, there's no isser of paying late. So therefore I'll pay you late, I'll pay you olam haba. That's all fine, legabe most of the mitzvahs. But there was two mitzvahs that Hashem did say give directly, without an intermediary, without a shaliach. What's that? The first two dibras, Anochi and Lo Yelecha. And what's that? The mitzvahs of Amuna. So that Hashem has to pay in this world. Because he can't just say, no, go to the shaliach. There's no shaliach there. So he has to pay right away, or else it's halam aschar. Mimele, that's the pshat in the midrash. Kol achilo sheYisrael ochlim, olam hazeh. All the instant payment that we have in this world is what? They eat because of emunah, the first two dibras. Since that came directly from Hashem, and not through a shaliach, so Hashem has to give us the eatings in this world. Payment right now. Okay. Yep. How are we doing time? Okay. It says by Shabbos, Sheshes Yamim Tavod, etc. V'yom HaShvi'i Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecha. So they ask the difference in Lashon again. Here, again, Sheshes Yamim Tavod, you should work. And on the seventh day, Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecha to Hashem. Whereas in Parshas V'yakel, it says a little different. It says, Sheshes Yamim Teyasem Melacha, Melacha will be done. And V'yom HaShvi'i, instead of Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecha, it says, Shabbos Yelachem Kodesh. Why the difference in Lashon? So the Chasam Sofer says, based on the idea that a Talmud Chacham, who learns full time all week, so for him he's allowed to rest a little bit on Shabbos. Right? Because he's been learning hard all week, so he gets to taper off a little bit in his learning, whatever, on Shabbos and rest a little bit. Whereas a Baal HaBayit, the opposite. He works all week. What is he going to learn? Shabbos is dafka time. He has to learn. Mele, can understand the two psukim. The psukim being here by Seir Sidibras, by us, is talking about a Baal HaBayit. 6 days you work. You're working 6 days, fine. But therefore, Shabbos, Lashem Elokecha, has to be totally to Hashem. You have to devote it to Hashem. You got to learn. When are you going to learn? If you're working 6 days, it has to be on Shabbos. Whereas in Parshat V'Yakel, it's talking about Tamachachem. Therefore, it says, Sheish Yamim Te'aseh Melacha, work will be done by others. Not you. You're sitting and learning. Other people are working. So Te'aseh Melacha will be done. And since you're learning all week, so therefore, B'yom HaShvi, Yeh Lachem Kodesh, for you, Lachem. Not Lashem Elokecha. You don't have to devote it totally to Hashem, because you can take a rest. So therefore, it's Yeh Lachem Kodesh, for you. You can rest a little bit. It says, the pasuk said, "V'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'kolos," that they saw the kolos of Har Sinai. So the chiddush here, we explain, what have to see the kolos? You hear the kolos. What have to see the kolos? So there's a cute word. He says that because the if you only heard the Asiyas Dibros, you didn't were able to see the words. So then you might make a mistake. Why? It says lo signov, right? Don't steal. So a person could hear that and think, "Oh, lo signov. How do you spell lo?" Right? Lamed Aleph. But you can also spell Lo, Lamed Vav. Which therefore could mean, not don't steal, but Lo Tignov, you can steal from him. You know, you can yourself, you have to admit it, but Lo Tignov, him, you can steal. Go ahead and steal. So therefore, if they have to see Ro'im Esakol, if they saw the word Lo, Lamed Aleph, they would know it means you can't, not allowed to steal. Reminds me of a cute Maisa. There was once a father, who was checking out a shidduch for his daughter. He heard about this bacher. And so he decided for reference, you know, to call his Rosh Hashiva to find out about the boy. So he calls Rosh Hashiva and he mentions his name and whatever. He says, "What can you tell me about this bacher?" So the Rosh Hashiva thinks, you know, and he says, "What can I tell you? You know, hakol etzlo mishuna," which means everything about him is strange. He's a shtickle oddball kizeh. Hakol etzlo mishuna. Right? A little weird. Okay, so you know, we have to tell him the truth. So okay. So then the Rosh Hashiva gets a call a little while later, whatever, a couple of weeks later, and it's from the father of the girl. He says, "Oh, I want to, you know, call you to invite you to the vor, the mazel tov." That says, "Oh yeah, who's the lucky chassan?" He says, "What do you mean? You know, the bachur that I called you about from your yeshiva last couple of weeks ago." "Yeah, my daughter, you know, when I was engaged to him and everything." So he says, "You know, it's okay, you know, mazel tov and everything, but I don't, you know, can't help but ask, but I didn't, you know, you asked me about the boy, and I told you that hakol etzlo mishune, you know." So the father says, "Yeah, no." So the Rosh Hashiva says, "No, so I know." So why would you take him as a chassan? He says, "Listen, I'll tell you why. Because I figured, you know, lemaisa, we're not a family of chazanim that we care about, you know, music and things. So what's the big deal?" And so he's like, "What?" He realized hakol etzlo hakol kol could mean with a kaf everything, can also mean with a kuf voice. So he thought the Rashi was a hakol, his voice is mishuna, is weird. He doesn't have a nice voice. So therefore he thought, okay, so he doesn't have a nice voice, he's a good guy, you know, good bach, he doesn't have a good voice, we're not a family of chazanim, who cares? But what the Rashi meant was hakol etzlo, everything about him is mishunadik. Okay, well, obviously it was a shidduch was meant to be. Let's end off with one little maisa with Rav Zusha, right? Once Rav Zusha, it was Erev Shabbos, and he was a poor man, but one Erev Shabbos he happened to come across some money. He had 10 rubles. That was a lot of money for him. So Shabbos was about to come in, and he didn't know what to do with the money, because you don't have to hide it, you know. I don't want anybody to steal this money. He finally got his hands on, you know, 10 rubles. So he had an idea. He opened up a chumash, and he stuck it in the chumash, where the words Lo Signov appear. So then, you know, the Ganov, you know, get the picket, you know, Lo Signov, you know. Fine, so he puts it in, and closes, puts it away. Motzei Shabbos rolls around, comes to the Chumash, opens it up, Lo Signov, no money. No money, it was stolen. He goes, "I can't believe it, it's ridiculous." Anyway, so he goes leafing through the Chumash, and sure enough, he finds half of it, 5 rubles. So he looks at it and he goes, "Oh, what's going on here? Only 5 rubles. And he sees it's by the pasuk, V'ahavta le'reacha kamocha, to a lively friend like yourself. So he says, "Oh, you see that, Zusha? This guy's much better than you. You only care about yourself. This guy at least cares about you as well." Ad kan, Shabbat shalom, uvarach l'kulam, v'nizkeh, l'irot, b'yach, tzidkenu, v'hera v'yameinu.